The Old Testament lesson is taken from Exodus chapter 32, reading from verse 1 to 14. Exodus 32, 1 to 14. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Israel.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "O Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. The end of the first lesson.
The epistle is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. Philippians 4, 1 to 9. "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Eudocia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Here ends the reading.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of Christ, as it is written in Matthew chapter 22, reading at the first verse. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, the first 14 verses. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wearing gloves?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Beloved, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the talk, I've selected two scripture readings we talk about health education, and then two famous quotes from two famous personalities. What we're going to do is biblical. It is very, very important. We need to know, and the Bible talks about it. Selected one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The Old Testament reading is from Proverbs chapter 3, 7 and 8. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health. Health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. "Do not be wise in your own eyes." We hear some saying, is it even important? Ebola will never come to Ghana. We will never have it. We don't joke with it. We need wisdom. Wisdom so that we derive nourishment in our bodies, in our bones. The second one, 3 John 1:2. 3 John 1:2. "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." Yes, our souls will be well if we understand the Ebola disease, what it is really is, and how we can prevent it. And then we find health for our souls. Good. There are two famous quotes about our health. The first quote is from an ancient Greek poet called Menander. This is what he said. He said, health and intellect are the two blessings of life. Health and intellect are the two blessings of life. It's very, very important. And the second quote is from a man called Dr. Ron Spallon, a chiropractor in Lakewood, Colorado. Oh, this man provides pain relief using a variety of physical therapy. And this is what he said. The hospitals and graveyards are filled with those who refuse to acknowledge the virtues of physical morality. And I like this quote very well. The hospitals and graveyards are filled with those who refuse to acknowledge the virtues of physical morality. It is very, very important that we understand what the Ebola disease really is, so that we don't die a foolish death. It's very, very important. And please, let's welcome the team of resource persons who will lead in our discussion. Let's give them a big round of applause. Dr. Gloria Sari and her team.
Thank you. Thank you, Father. And thank you, brothers and sisters. All health workers here are part of the team. We're able to reach a few, but all health workers are welcome to contribute. Dr. Henrietta Sari, Dr. Saki, and Dr. Audrey Corsa are all part of the team. Dr. Kram, Professor Kram of Noguchi is not here. He's traveled. So we all put this together. So we are asking, what is Ebola disease? It is a severe, and we are sorry, we didn't know that the slides will show so little here, but I hope you can read. I'll tell you the important things. I'm sorry. It is a severe and often fatal illness. It kills up to 9 out of 10 who are affected, and it's one of the world's most virulent diseases. It is spread from person to person when it gets to the human race, but it can easily be prevented. The first Ebola appeared in 1976 in two simultaneous outbreaks in Sudan and Democratic Republic of Congo. So the disease was named after the river in the tropical forest area where it started. Next. So the virus looks like that, a ribbon over there, under the electron microscope. There are four Ebola-type viruses, depending on how, where it started from, where it originates from. So we have one from Bundibugyo, and then Resten, then Sudan, and then the Zaire virus. And then there's another Ebola-like virus called Marburg. They are all from a family called Filoviridae. So that is a family of viruses with the same characteristics. What they do is that they cause what we call hemorrhagic fever. So it's fever with bleeding tendencies. Next. So this is the Ebola River, and that is where the first case happened, and that is why it is named after the river. And the viruses are able to change a bit as they move from place to place. We call it mutation. So all these Ebola viruses have some changes. Next. So the natural host of the Ebola virus is believed to be the fruit bat. That is what we think is the reservoir. Next. So what happens is that within the forest, tropical rainforest, usually, the bats get infected, but they are the host, so they don't show any disease. But when they get into contact with the animals in the forest, like the monkeys and the deer, wild game, those animals get sick and they die. And when they die, and human beings go into the forest like hunters, go into the forest to touch the animals or even take them as their meat, they bring it back into the community, and then it spreads from human to human. Next. So there's a broken line between the bat and the man. It hasn't been shown that the bat has directly infected a man, but it's potentially possible. Next. So these are the areas where the Ebola virus has been. It started in Congo. It went to Sudan, then Uganda, and then Gabon. And then it also came to West Africa in an isolated outbreak in Ivory Coast. Next. So what we are seeing now is an outbreak in West Africa. And it started in Guinea, in West Africa. And the small table there, which you may not be able to see the figures from, is as at October 3rd, 2014, in West Africa, 7,412 cases had been registered. And out of that, 3,439 had died. So it was close to half, 46%, so one in two. Out of every two people who have it, one dies. And that is better than the first ones that came, which were up to 90%. So for Guinea, the fatality rate is 66%. Liberia is 54%. Sierra Leone is 25%. And then Nigeria had an imported case from Liberia, which we all heard in the news. And 20 people were affected and 8 died. So that was 40%. Senegal had one and contained it. The USA also had one. A doctor flown there contained it. But just last week, the gentleman from Liberia who went there has died. So it's a very serious disease. And in the current West African, the West African epidemic, we are having it from human to human through direct contact with anybody fluid, like blood, stool, urine, saliva, and semen. What we call next incubation period is the time interval from the time one is exposed to the virus to the time the person shows symptoms of the disease. And that is from 2 to 21 days, but it's usually between 8 and 10 days, so the person who will have the disease will show it. So the patient becomes contagious, that is, they can infect others once they begin to show symptoms. When they are in the incubation period, they do not infect anyone. Next. So we say that a patient must have the symptoms to spread the disease. And so we take care of contacts from the 21 days. And if after 21 days the person exposed does not develop symptoms, then we can say that the person did not get the Ebola disease. Next. So this is a map showing the different countries, how Ebola has affected the different countries, the numbers. Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Nigeria are very few, so you can't even see them there. Next. This is another map just showing what has been shown already, and the top line is showing the total number of cases, the purple line. Next. So when Ebola first came, the ones in Uganda, it shows certain symptoms. So the symptoms have not changed. It's fever, high-grade fever of higher than 38 degrees Celsius. And then the person will have headache and sore throat. Then as the disease progresses, the person gets worse, and then they have some diarrhea, vomiting, a rash, and then some internal and external bleeding. They can bleed for us to see outside, or they may be bleeding inside their bodies that no one is seeing. And then also they can have a lot of other complications like kidney failure and liver failure. Next. So the early part of the disease is the weakness, the fever and the weakness, and then as it gets worse, the other symptoms show up. Next. So the diagnosis is that we have a lot of fever here. We have malaria, cholera, meningitis, hepatitis. We have diarrhea like cholera, and then other viral fevers like yellow fever. So we have to differentiate between all of that. And the only time we can confirm a case is when we have a positive lab test. And the tests are done at Noguchi Memorial Lab Institute of Research in Legon at no cost. So the health alert is that we should inform health authorities of any patient with above history and a history of recent travel to or from an outbreak zone. Next. So here are some of the pictures of people bleeding. The man is bleeding from the mouth. The other gentleman, his eyes are red. He's bleeding from the eyes, and this is bleeding from the skin. Next. This one is very terrible. He's bleeding from the eyes, bleeding all over, and there is a certain rash which starts from the forehead and then spreads to the neck and then to the limbs, and it's all a bleeding rash. By the time it does that, it has affected other organs. Next. So the community alert is that when we have an unexplained fever or a sudden and unexpected death or a hemorrhagic bleeding sign with the fever, then it is something that we have to be alert and make sure that it is not a case of Ebola. So when should someone seek care? As soon as a symptom develops, if a person has been in an area with Ebola or has been in contact with someone with Ebola, they have to go to the nearest health facility. It is known that prompt treatment improves the chances of survival. And when we had the meeting here, those in Guinea said in the beginning they had a lot of deaths, but now that they were able to handle it, their case fatality went down. So sometimes it shows how strong also the health system is to deal with the disease. And it is very important to start what we call infection control and prevention procedures in the facilities. We should always be doing it and not be off guard. So we said the earlier one seeks care, the better. Next. There is no treatment or vaccine for this disease. And so the severe cases require intensive care. Otherwise, people are given fluids and rehydrated, and they go through with electrolytes. All the salts that we have in the blood should be replaced, either orally or through drip, and good food and treatment of other complications, as well as psychosocial. They may have a lot of psychological problems. Next. So the people should be taken to the nearest hospital for proper management. We have said that there is no specific treatment, but going to the hospital can save one's life. And the better intensive care the person has, the better their chances if they run into complications. And then the Ebola patients are isolated in the health facility so that others do not become infected. Next. So the health staff who care for the patients must wear what we call the personal protective equipment, or PPE. It is goggles, a mask, gloves, they are double gloves, and a head cover, and then a whole gown, and then an apron. And a lot of research is going on for the vaccine, and then now people are also looking at using the blood serum of someone who has recovered, and that is also being tried. And there are a few experimental drugs around. So who is most at risk? Health workers are the most at risk, and then the family members or those who are close to the infected people. And then mourners, because mourners who have direct contact with the body, like undertakers and people, when somebody dies, people touch the body in all kinds of rituals. They are all at risk. And then hunters, who come home, come into contact with dead animals and sometimes bring them home. Next. So if you have a health facility like this with someone on the floor and people there's a tendency to spread it. So we are all trying to make sure that our facilities do not look like this. Next. So the doctor who died, the Sierra Leone doctor, he said, Sheikh Umar Khan, may he rest in peace. He had treated 100 Ebola victims and he said, I'm afraid for my life. And that was before he died. Next. So again, we are talking about the most at risk. In the August 2014 Democratic Republic of Congo case, the index case, that's the case that started it, was a pregnant woman from a village whose husband butchered a bush animal that he had killed and gave it to her. The lady is the one who prepared the meat. And so after that, she got sick with an unidentified fever with bleeding tendencies, and then she died. And then they went to they had to take the baby out because of custom. And the health workers who didn't know about it and the mortuary people who all handled her got infected and also died. The Nigerian case of the gentleman who went from Liberia for a meeting also infected his healthcare workers. And then we have a German missionary, a Spanish nurse, and then the gentleman who recently returned from Liberia who have all had Ebola and died. Next. We have a lot of bats around and people eat bats. Next. Next. So we can see that there is a very important role with bush meat in this, and we have to be very careful. In Ghana, there's a kind of square. It's not a square. It's actually a trapezoid around Ashanti, Eastern, and Volta region, where a lot of people harvest and eat these bats. And that is a vendor selling bushmeat over there. And so we have to educate everybody to handle bushmeat properly if they want to eat it. Next. So we have to understand the disease and how it is transmitted and seek early care. And it is not recommended for people to be treated at home. We should do safe burial practices and reduce contact with the high-risk infected animals like the bats, monkeys, or apes. Next. So when we talk about infection control, there are standard precautions that we take in the care of patients regardless of their perceived or confirmed infectious state. And that is something that we really have to work on in the health system and among all of us. We have to wash our hands all the time, hand hygiene, and then use the personal protective equipment and prevent ourselves from getting needle sticks. And when a needle pricks you from an infected person, you can also have the disease. And then we look at the environmental control measures. Next. So in the absence of proper human vaccine, awareness of the risk factors and the protective measures is what we can work with. So during the outbreak, our messages are focused on reduction of risk from wildlife to human transmission and then human to human spread. Next. Ghana has not recorded a confirmed case yet. And as at August 14th, we had 57 suspected cases, and they had all tested negative at Noguchi, and were relieved that they were tested negative, because when you hear it and then you see the health workers panicking because they may have not done everything they should have done, it's really frightening. So it comes with relief. And the government has also set up a lot of committees from the Office of the President up to the Ministry of Health, and then an interministerial body, which is not only the health sector, but all the relevant ministries are involved in that. Next. We have last week, the Center Isolation Treatment Center at Tema General Hospital, which is a tent, had been completed and was opened. And then we have other pictures showing how people work around that and how burial takes place. All the people are personal protective clothing. The woman down there with her hands up, I found her on the internet. She was being discharged and she was being sprayed with a disinfectant from Liberia. Next. So as at 30th September, we had tested 103 samples, and again, they were all negative, and that is a great relief for us, but we should be prepared. So we are saying that we should avoid direct contact with the body fluids, and we should not touch our face whilst we are in the gloves. Sometimes the health worker forgets and scratches the cheek or something, and that can also do that. And we should not shake hands with persons showing signs of Ebola. The bedding has to be disinfected. Actually, a lot of the things are actually burnt after the illness. And then we should be washing our hands regularly under running clean water with soap. And then the person suspected to be having Ebola, we should send them to the facilities. Next. So that's a lady washing her hands, a health worker. Next. And we should always be washing our hands. Whatever we do, we should wash our hands frequently, and we should avoid people who obviously are sick, having signs of Ebola. We should be about a meter away from such people. Yes, if you are not in the gear. That is what it says, about 3 feet away, and then we get the right people to handle the person. And we should avoid touching our faces after we have touched any suspicious person, because the mucous membranes are all around our face, our nose, and our eyes. And then if we are sick, we should not travel and we should not go to work to meet with others. Next. After death, the corpse is still shedding the virus. So one has to be very careful. They are fumigated and they are buried without much ceremony by a team that is taught to do that. And then all waste is incinerated. Next. Now we should avoid contact with bush animals like bats and chimpanzees, monkeys, forest antelope, and porcupines, especially the ones that we find dead in the rain or ill in the rainforest. Some hunter finds a sick animal and thinks he's doing a quick one. And then that can give us a problem. So we should all be vigilant and also educate our hunters. And then we should avoid eating dead animals, the meat of dead animals. And if we have to handle dead animals, we have to wear protective clothing and gloves. Whether the animal is dead or sick in the bush, that is also for the vets who go and see them. Then the animal products should be cooked thoroughly before we eat them. So this is something showing the whole gamut. We have to wash our hands, we have to wear protective clothing, and we have to avoid contact with the animals. Next. So we can move on. Yes, so this is the copy of the poster we have around, and we've brought some around. We're pasting them around. It actually summarizes all what we have said. We should avoid contact with very ill persons without any gear. We should avoid shaking hands with persons who show signs of Ebola. Avoid the animals like the bats and the monkeys. And then we should wash our hands regularly and cook all our foods very well. Next. Technology has made Ebola so close. When it started, it looked like it wouldn't get somewhere. But there is Ebola, the plane, and then Ebola standing there. And you can see, I think it's President Obama who is there. I don't know, but there's an American flag and WHO. It's just showing that it's an international problem. So we do not want to be destroyed from lack of knowledge. It's education, 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 and monitoring. And then Einstein says that those who have the privilege to know have the responsibility to act. So whatever, even if you think it's very little knowledge, once it is the correct knowledge, please let's work with it. Next. Thank you. So now we'll talk about cholera. Very briefly. We all know about cholera. It is a disease caused by a bacterium. It's different from virus. Bacteria, usually we can have antibiotics to kill bacteria, and it is spread through drinking water or eating food that is contaminated by the bacteria, which is called Vibrio cholera. And flies can actually spread cholera. The germs are found in the feces of infected people, and it's spread when the feces of the infected person gets into water or drink or in the food that people eat. Cholera is not likely, or generally is not spread from person directly from person to person. Next. So it gives diarrhea. It produces diarrhea, watery stools, rice water stools, and sometimes with vomiting. It's linked with poor hygiene and environmental sanitation, poor environmental sanitation, and lack of safe drinking water. The incubation period is 2 to 3 days. So it's very fast when one is exposed. One gets it very fast, and we can treat it with the fluids and antibiotics. Now, next. There are a lot of cholera cases, millions of cholera cases in a year, and some deaths worldwide. But in Ghana, in 2012, with the exception of Upper West region, we had a cholera outbreak, which spread to all the regions. And then 3 out of 10 of every diarrhea was cholera, was tested and found to have the germ. Cholera is now endemic. When we say endemic, it means it's always around, but in lower numbers, in Greater Accra, Central, and Western region. Next. So since 1817, the Industrial Revolution, cholera was a problem in the industrialized countries, but they overcame it with improved sanitation. In Ghana, the first case was in 1970, where a Togolese national collapsed at Kotoka International Airport. That was the first case. Next. So this map shows that cholera has also been around other parts of the world. Next. Yes, next. Every 4 to 6 years, we tend to have an epidemic. So can you go to the next one? Next. Yes, so you can see the spikes, 1982, 1990, and so on and so forth. The last outbreak we had was in 2012. 2013 was very silent, and 2014, we have had shamefully over 20,000 cases have been reported. And the index case started in Greater Accra. These maps are showing, those dots are showing the number of cases. So from 2011 to 2012, mostly in Accra metropolitan area. Next. So you can see that in 2014, it's so bad that it spread throughout almost all the sub-districts in Accra with a very dense color over there. It means that the numbers are so many. Next. So this cholera outbreak started in June 2014. There were 16 cases with no deaths, but it has spread alarmingly around the whole country. But there's no case reported from the northern region. So as of October 6, we've had 20,000 cases with 164 deaths, less than 1% of the deaths, but all those deaths are very painful and sad. Next. So the cholera it spreads. It comes from Greater Accra. A 10-year-old girl from Ashiedu Keteke got it, and then it went to Ghana West, Ladadi Kotokon, and so on, then into Nsawam, then Ashanti Central and Volta regions. The last one in Upper West was a student who, UDS student, who returned from Accra and also sent the cholera there. Next. You can skip those. They are just showing how it has spread. So they are in every region. Next. Cholera is in every region, and they are except Upper West. That has been reported this year. And most of them were treated and treated properly. But in Brahafu, the deaths were very high. 5% of all the cases, 6% actually, 6 out of 100 of all the cases died. And so we are strengthening our service delivery there. Next. These are maps showing how the cases have gone up and now it's subsiding. That's for the country. Next. Next. And this is for Greater Accra. Next. Next. So this is the map of Ghana showing where the cholera has been concentrated. Next. And it happens to both males and females, but it's mostly more men than women. And then in the ages from 10 up to 60 to 69, it's more men. But the peak is in the 20 to 29, those who usually go out and eat outside. We have a lot of risk factors. Next. A lot of risk factors, like open drains, water lines passing through some drains, and that people defecating in the gutter. And then this another house with a big gutter behind it. Next. And then a lot of filth around. Pipes that send water passing through gutters. And then the dump sites are full. So, next. So we've had some responses from the national level and also at the regional level. At the national level, there's also an interministerial committee, and it's not only the health sector, but local governments, everybody whose hands have to be on board, and also our development partners like the USAID, UNICEF, WHO are all helping. And in the districts and regions, we have sent materials, and also we are supporting them with supervision. Next. So we have a lot of challenges, the poor sanitation, then the inadequate centers, next. The inadequate centers, and then next. The congested wards and treatment persons. So this has somehow increased person-to-person contact. So next. These are all pictures of congested centers, next. So we have to do community education and social mobilization, and then treat the cases effectively so they don't die, make sure that we have safe water in our communities, and then also use the aqua taps, some water tablets to improve the chlorination level of the water in bad places with bad water supply. And then we should dispose of our liquid and solid waste properly. And last but not the least, we should practice good food hygiene. Next. So we move next. So the preventive messages are that we should drink safe water that is boiled or chlorinated. We should wash our hands regularly with soap and water after all our activities and before we eat. Especially, we should have good toilets and not have open defecation around. And then food should be cooked thoroughly and eaten hot if possible. So next. These are just examples of how we should treat our water and drink it, and then use running water and not wash our hands in a common bowl. Next. If someone in our family is ill or we ourselves are ill, we should have oral rehydration salts mixture solution, and we should be drinking it regularly, even as we go to the health facility for treatment. And we should continue to drink it even after we have been treated, even when we have been treated, to make sure that we are well rehydrated. And if a woman is breastfeeding her baby, she should continue to breastfeed the baby even when she's traveling to get treatment. By so doing, the baby will not get dehydrated, and the cholera can be treated once they get to the facility. So thank you very much. We have some leaflets around, and we have posters also around. Thank you.
Oh, we can do better than that. Let's upload it. Thank you so much, God. Lord, don't go. We're going to take questions, few questions, but I will start. Doc, assuming I shook hands with an infected parishioner, and after 2 minutes, I use the antiviral to wash my hands, will I be infected?
That is we cannot tell. But if you did a quick sanitizing, it's possible that you may not be infected, but you have to check. That's why once the person is sick, the sweat can have the virus. But the virus has to go usually through broken skin. Mm. If you have a cut or something. So it's not likely that you'll be infected, but you cannot rule it out, because a lot of people who have had it said they didn't have broken skin, but they got infected. But the most plausible is through broken skin, maybe a scratch or a cat.
Any question? Yes, Adinanzi. Please, Vice President, the microphone. I'll come to you.
Please, the doctors should and the health workers, please identify yourselves so you can help to answer. It's a teamwork. Thank you.
A friend of mine rang from the States advising me to go for pneumonia shot and something else. I've forgotten. Because these are possible ways of preventing the Ebola disease from attacking me. How true is that?
Thank you. We'll answer you.
Yes, you're going to take about three questions and then we'll answer. So just put it down.
Can we have more questions?
Just three questions and then we go. Yes, sir.
Yes, my colleagues are here.
Doctor.
Yes. Dr. Saki.
Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, do you know Ace? Ace, do you know Ace?
Ace.
Does it go closer to Ace or whatever it is?
Okay.
AIDS. Please, can you explain closer to AIDS in what?
Affected with the, you say affected with the sand, this one goes to the viruses and all included. You understand?
Yes.
It's the same, is it the same as the AIDS that kills human beings? That's what I want to ask, yes.
Okay.
Because I work with people who know the secret of it very, very much. Spiritually, I work with it. They know the secret. If you go to Israel now, they have the everything there. But whatever you are saying, I don't go close with what the advice they give us.
Okay.
Uncle Alex.
Thank you.
Uncle Alex, Banasco.
Yes.
Uncle George.
Thank you. Assuming you are in a community or your house and somebody is suspected to have Ebola, what is the recommended approach? Because your first reaction is to try to carry the person to the nearest facility, could be infected. And I think we need to cover that gap there so that the transmission of the disease from the health giver or from the household person does not also expose him to the problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. My colleagues will answer.
Let's try it. If you can answer the three questions and then move on, please.
I'm answering the first question about the pneumonia shots. It doesn't protect against Ebola. You know, we have certain people whose immunity, when we say immunity, the way we react to infections are reduced. So normally people like sickle cell disease patients, those with cancers, we give them those pneumonia shots. But Ebola is not protected from those things. Then there was something about AIDS. What did he say? No, he said actually, although they are trying to link Ebola to AIDS, we think Ebola is more dangerous because with AIDS, you need to really have contact with the person. AIDS has been around. The infection has not been so great. As much as we are talking about body fluids and that you must have abrasion or something, it's also in the sweat. So that is why it's so scary. If you know the lady who, the nurse in Spain, and then the people who washed her hair, they are suspected to be because they washed her hair. So when they washed her hair, okay, sometimes when you are washing your hair, you can have bleeding, and then you can have the sweat, and so that is it. And so that comes to the question of if you have a relative who you think has Ebola, please don't touch the patient. Call the ambulance. The people with the ambulance, when they come, are well prepared. But if you feel like carrying the person, if you watch the CNN, that nurse who is in training, you notice what she did. If you don't have gloves, look for plastic. Put about two is not enough. Put about four. Cover your face. But it's advisable that you don't, because this is not heroism. It's dangerous. So don't carry the person. The one who died in America, he carried a relative who is pregnant with Ebola, and that's how he got the disease.
I think that is, you first said it. Yes, please.
Yes, good morning. My name is Echo Hackman. I think we're very grateful for this education, but I'd like to ask what is happening with respect to education in the deprived areas. If you watch the telly, as we've been doing, we can see what's happening in Liberia and Sierra Leone and the chaos in the areas which we have many of, these urban settlements which are completely disorganized and where the panic and ignorance seems to be, you know, taking hold and making the situation worse. Thank you.
Okay, Gloria is in public health, so she will we'll talk come, to yeah. you about what
Let's
they
take,
are doing.
Thank you very much, Doctor. You did mention about saliva and how it's... do this. Okay. You did talk about saliva. Can you tell us what we are doing about the common chalice? Thank you.
Yeah, we'll come to that.
Please, for those of us who travel around the country, everybody rides in a bus or in a car. When you come across accidents, which you normally do have with buses, say two big buses or a bus and a truck, what happens to all those people who may be injured? You just look at them and pretend nothing has happened and just drive on?
Okay, let's take, I'll take the chalice one, but...
the danger now is people think that anybody who is bleeding has got Ebola. But it's not true. If you see somebody who's had an accident, it's okay. Normally you're supposed to ask about travel history, but you cannot. But even suspecting the person has got Ebola, just protect yourself. Cover your hands with something. The thing is, as much as possible, let's avoid getting in touch with people's blood. Period. But, you know, accident, you have to help. You have to help. So, but just protect yourself. Make sure your blood doesn't. So, we all have handkerchiefs. We have something. Cover your hands before. Yes, just cover yourself. So that comes to the same things. I think we shake our hands too much also, you know. So I think we should stop shaking our hands. I mean, Father will talk about the chalice.
The education in the rural areas. Yeah.
I wanted to add something about the accidents. We've had HIV with us for years. That is what you should fear more when you have patients, people who are involved in an accident. So you cover your hands. I mean, people take their black polythene bags, any polythene bag you can find. There should be no contact with skin. And Ebola concentrates in the skin, but the person has to be ill. So it's actually, it will be fairly obvious to you this is a person not well. And if it's not obvious to you, we believe that the hand washing and using the gel, the sanitizers, quickly, as Father said, within minutes, is what you should do. And if possible, don't even touch, don't shake hands. That's what they do in Nigeria. They will not shake your hand. And I think Nigeria has been able to contain the Ebola virus very, very quickly. And I think we should look at what they did.
The education in the rural area.
Thank you very much.
After this, we'll take two more questions, and that is it. Because I'm moderating.
We are encouraging all to join in the education. But the health sector and the committee, the various ministries, information and others, are all supposed to be doing it. We've done some, but I will say that it hasn't gone to everywhere, every place where it should go. So we are continuing with the education. And it's good also that we are here. We have also met groups of people, like the Road Transport Union. We spoke to them, the TUC in Accra and in the regions. They are all repeating what we are doing at headquarters in the regions. So we'll ask that, please, everybody help in the education. But we really have to do it, and more resources have to be put into that. I just wanted to add that with the semen, up to 3 months, people who have been cured of Ebola. They can find traces of the virus in their semen for up to 3 months. So if somebody has Ebola and he's treated, he will have to protect himself and his partners with a condom, male or female condom. It's very important.
Yeah, with the challenge, let me suggest something here and now. Well, we always, every Sunday, we have about four challenge assistants. Well, this is what I'm suggesting. I've already talked about instinction, where you receive the bread and then dip it halfway into the wine. Now, what we can do, what we can further do, is that we have two challenge assistants on my right, that is on my left, that is your right. They will be stationed here. And the two challenge assistants on my right, that is your left. So those on my left, if you want to instinction, you move there. And then those on my right, if you want to see, we cannot rule it out that everyone has to use. Some will say that, based on my spirituality, I still want to do fine. You move to the right. So that we do that, you come out from your pew, and when you come out from your pew, if you want to do use instinction, you go to the right. If you want to sleep, you move to the right, left. It doesn't change anything. It will not distract anything. So that at least the chalice that will be used on my left will always be kept clean. No one will sip it. No, it will always be clean, and then for instinction. And then if you want to use the right, you can move there. That is the only thing that we can do. Because I am, for now, some are using the instinction for now. But for us to further protect ourselves, we can earmark two challenge assistants on my left for instinction, and that challenge will be solely for instinction. And then on my right, if you want to sit, you will do so. Yes.
Oh.
Any question with that? Yes. Yes.
Microphone here.
Why not? Yes. Can I come?
It's here.
No, this is the Anglican tradition. It must be ruled by the bishop. That is it. I cannot rule that. I cannot rule on that place. It's the bishop, because that's not our tradition. That's not our style. 10 a.m., they don't have any problem. But in the Anglican tradition, it's only the bishop who can mandate, please. I don't have the right. So that is the only thing we can do.
Thank you. How safe are we with all these bats?
Oh, no, I'm looking at you, Sean. No, are we in agreement with what I've said?
No,
let's rule on that, because it's a problem. I've suggested something. You move from the pew. If you want to use instinction, you move to the right. If you want to sleep, you move, because two challenge assistants, two.
Change the 10 o'clock style, that's all.
Because let's agree on this, because it's a problem. The big problem when it comes to distribution of the wine is very important. Yes. No, they cannot be done. Some people will not agree, no. It has been suggested that we should all go for instinction. But I've spoken to some people, and they are saying that no, I still want to sleep. And you cannot force a person. I've spoken to a lot of parishioners here. And they are telling me, Canon, I still want to see. So what will you do? So that's the only thing. And you cannot force the person that uses instinction. So the only thing you can do is that we have so many challenges here in the vestry. And we have four challenge assistants. Why don't we earmark two? Everybody knows that the two on my left for instinction, and the two on my right will be for if you want to serve. Fine. Yes, yeah, but No. It will create a problem. It will still create a problem. Please, let's rule on this now.
Because I have a lot of them coming to my house.
Please, can we have a microphone here? Our father wants to say something. We'll take your question, please. We'll take it.
we have another microphone.
I have to ask that question.
We'll come. I just want us to rule on this, and then we take that question, and then that is it. Please, give it to our daddy, and let's move on.
Can I ask you, as we consider taking a ruling on the subject matter before us, I will ask also that we consider and take a ruling on the handshaking. We had a minister here who said Ebola or no Ebola, we shake hands. Then we had another minister, he knows himself, who cautioned that shaking hands is a risk. I think we should take a ruling because whether we should shake hands or not shake hands. It's embarrassing if we leave it loose and a member stretches the hand to you at the time when we exchange peace, and then we draw your hand. I think it's embarrassing. So we must take a decision whether or not we shake hands.
Okay.
Yeah, and okay. It will be fair to all of us.
Okay. There's a third option to what we're talking about.
Yes. We were thinking that with instinction, there's still the... Although Father says you should dip your wafer halfway into the wine, there's still the probability that your fingers would touch the wine. So... the third option would be to decide not to have wine altogether. After all, the Catholic parishioners do not share in the wine.
Yes, no, we want a ruling on this, then we can ask another question. We want a ruling on this. That's what I've explained, that it's not the Anglican tradition. It's only the bishop who can rule on that. Yeah. Yeah, so but the bishop is working on it. The bishop is still discussing it with the primates. And we cannot, without tradition, we just cannot rule. Beloved Lord, this should not create any problem. I've explained what instinction is all about. And we just need... it's halfway. If you dip it halfway, there's no way your finger will touch the halfway. It is done so beautifully without any problem. Because if you go to say that, no, what about this? What about this? Then we will not get anywhere. Mr. Endo, please. No, I've got that one. Yes.
Take the wafer and go if you are afraid. But the next thing we need to do is that I'm surprised that priests have not gone to see the bishop to take a decision.
No, we've seen the bishop.
So why hasn't he taken?
We've seen the bishop, and yes, he's also discussing with the primates. You know our tradition. You know our tradition.
Oh, but yeah. But in the meantime, some are afraid of the disease, and anything can happen whilst they are still discussing it. This is something that should be sat on and discussed immediately.
We do that as soon as possible.
And also, may I suggest that in that case, in handing over the wafers, you will also have to wear gloves.
Now listen. Let's get this right. No. Let's get this. Please, let's get it. Please, let's. The gestures that we use, the gestures that you see the priest using, they speak volumes. The gestures speak volumes.
But maybe we don't understand it. Now, before I preside over the Eucharist, the consecration, I wash my hands. Good. After washing my hands, I don't touch anything. The only thing that I touch is the elevation, when I elevate the bread. Just when I'm celebrating, I must just watch. After washing my hands, I don't touch anything. The only thing that I touch is the elevation of the bread. And when I touch the bread, you know, this is the way we hold the bread. After holding the bread, I don't release it. I don't release it. Even if I want to wipe my face, I use the other fingers. But this is always intact. And that's what I washed after the distributor. I washed it. That's what we call ablution. And I drink. So there's no way. But this is what I use to distribute the bread. And I cross it. That is priestcraft. That is a gesture. So it's always no hygienic. So there's no way I will open it. I only open it by washing it into the chalice. That we call ablution. So this is what I use to distribute the bread. And I don't open it until after the distribution. So maybe we don't know, but now we know. After washing my hands, I don't touch anything. The only thing that I touch is the elevation of the bread. And that's the way I hold it. I don't release this to us. I don't release it until after the distribution and I wash it. Because it's a sacrament. It has been blessed. It's a sacrament. The body of Christ. So I normally hear people say, I should wear gloves. But we need to understand the way our gestures, the way we use our gestures at Mass is very, very important. So there's no way I will open this. There's no way. And there's no way, maybe if I'm infected, I can infect someone. So that is it. So wearing of gloves doesn't come in. That's what I've explained. We take just two, and then that is it.
There was mention of fruit bats and that they can be carriers. 37 and on top of my house, there are a lot of bats. And yes. They have this way of dropping things. Is it likely to be infectious? Should I dodge?
Yeah. Let's move on to Madame. No, let's move on to Madame. Let's move on to Madame. Let's move on. Yeah. We'll go to Madame and come back. No, because Madame just bring it in hand.
Thank you.
Madame. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Thank you. My first question has been asked about the bats at 37.
Oh, okay.
How about the ones in our homes? Those of us who have a lot of fruit trees in the house, you always serve bats hovering around.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Chinwese, please. Mr. Chinwese.
Yes. Now, I have actual experience of what is done in Uganda, where I've been for 25 years. There, they never put the chalice in your mouth. The priest dips the wafer in there and gives it to you. So all you need to do is to make sure that the priest is sanitized. That's all.
Thank you very much. Please, can we clap for him? Thank you very much.
They say there's one question on cholera.
Thank you.
My question is not about what you are talking about. It's about cholera. Accra is so dirty. Most of the parts of Accra is dirty, especially Abogoshi area and the others. Gutters are choked and, you know, especially the marketplaces. So what are we doing about that? It's so dirty all over the place.
Okay, that's the last question. No, Doc, take the thing up.
Yes, thank you very much. The dirt in Accra. Yes, the cholera, the people get sick and they come to the hospitals. So we do a lot of health education and all of that. But it is a multi-sectoral response. So we are asking for the bylaws, the local authorities, district assemblies, metropolitan assemblies, have been urged to whip up the bylaws for cleanliness and to look at all those things I showed you, the buildings with no sewage systems and all of that. So it is multisectoral. And then also, as individuals, we should all try and play our roles, because this is very shameful, but it is happening in this day and age, the spread of cholera. For the bats, yes, the wildlife and the vets have been looking at the bats. They've been studying, sampling the bats and looking at them. I don't have the figures with me right now, but there were a few of them who had what we call antibodies to Ebola. It means that they've been exposed to it before, but they didn't have the active viruses among the 37 ones and the ones also in the bush. But they don't take visa, so they can be moving back and forth. And they move a lot. And I live near 37. I also hear the bats making noise. And I have some contemporary. I saw the poo-poo on it. And so I've banned. I don't look at it again because I'm afraid. You see, I showed you that small dotted arrow. We haven't seen a bat infecting a person, but it's potentially possible. If you have a pawpaw and you wake up and the bat has bitten the pawpaw and you go and eat the rest, and the bat has it. So we shouldn't eat fruit that has been handled or eaten by a bat. And then we should also wash our fruits very well. But we shouldn't also panic too much. I think we are panicking a lot. It's a serious thing. But if we panic too much, we'll not even be able to live. The thing is spread by a sick person. When the person is incubating it, they don't have enough viruses to spread the disease. But once they start showing symptoms, if you shake somebody's hand and the person has fever, then quickly you have to go and wash your hand and sign it, because you don't know what the fever is. But not all fever is Ebola, as we showed you. So it's a very dicey situation. We have to pray and all be also vigilant. But let's not spoil our lives by that. When I went to India once, I got out of the bus in the hotel, and then the people opened the door and I stretched my hand, and they just did this. So whenever we have cholera and things, I say, I'm sure India, because there are a lot, the population is very big, but they are able to contain some of these things because they don't shake hands. So they will just do this to you. So maybe we should start. That was just by the way. Please, my team, on behalf of my team, I want to thank you all. The team members want me to assure you that they are all here to support the education. If you have any questions, you can ask any of us.
It's and over. Then, yeah, go on.
And then also, I've been told to let us know that when we rub our eyes, we are doing these things. The rubbing of the eye is a very serious thing for health workers and for all of us. If we touch someone who should maybe is having Ebola and we go to the mucous membranes, the eyes and the lips and nose, we can spread it if the virus is there. And then also the bush meat. I've been told to specify Akrantia. It's also part of it. It's not only the bat. Because when they bite the bat and the monkey and the Akrantia and the rat, even people are thinking about the rodents too. So we have to be very careful about cleanliness. Thank you very much. On behalf of my team, we thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to acknowledge the presence of Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill from Sierra Leone. Mr. Hill, please stand and let us acknowledge your presence. Mr. Hill. Mr. Hill, yeah. Mr. Hill, no, 60 years ago, he was baptized here in Akari Church. And he's from a guest from Sierra Leone.
he's here in Ghana to help educate our brothers and sisters on this Ebola virus. Mr. Hill and the wife, please stand and let us acknowledge your ma'am, stand and let us acknowledge your presence, ma'am. You are most welcome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. Dear people of God, last week I broke protocol and I shook hands. That is it. From today, I use the Japanese style. I'm going back to the Japanese style of greeting. That is it. Having had this wonderful education on Ebola. Now, with the chalice, let's give it a trial. In all humility, let's give it a trial. We have two chalice assistants here. If you want to use institution, fine, move there. If you want to sip, move to the right. Let's give it a trial. If you want only the bread, please do so. But let's give it a trial. Let's give it a trial. And then we try and then put pressure on the bishop so that we find a solution to this. Now, if someone wants to shake hands with you, just let the person know, oh, because of Ebola. You know, that is it. But many a time, you won't tell the person, you will not tell the person, and so the person become offended. So that's why I said, oh, Ebola. That is it. And that solves the problem. It solves the problem. So thank you so much, for giving us audience. God bless you, and I pray that it will go a long way to prevent this disease from spreading in this country. Thank you so much.